Yay! And this started in early morning prayer. You've all been commenting and praying my message, so I know we're ready to go. You ready? So remember, we're in Acts, and last time we talked about being out in the community, representing Jesus, and advancing the kingdom of God. And we looked at how Peter and John freely gave what they had received when they healed that 40-year-old man that was lame since birth. So we pick it up there, and it says that the crowd was amazed. Like, what happened? We know this guy. We've been watching him here for years and years. He's out here every day, and now he's walking, leaping, and praising God. What happened? And Peter stands up, and he says, why are you all so surprised? It wasn't John and I who did this. It wasn't our power that did this. Did we hear power at all this morning? And it wasn't our godliness. It was Jesus. Faith in Jesus that healed him. And so in 3:16, Acts 3:16, it says, faith which comes through Jesus has given him, this man, perfect health. Come on, perfect health in the presence of you all. Faith which comes through Jesus. So he's saying, okay, we were just vessels. It wasn't our godliness. It wasn't our worthiness. It wasn't our power, but it was Jesus's. Well, I want to remind you what we heard prophetically last week. The one thing was that God challenged us that it's not just enough to know how powerful Jesus is, but we have to believe how powerful Jesus is. You can know something as information, but when you believe it, you're going to act upon it. When you believe it, you're going to receive it. When you believe it, you're going to step into it. So this morning, what I want to do is I just want to remind us how powerful Jesus is and allow that to cause our faith to arise so that it's just not head knowledge. Yeah, I know it's in the Bible and I know it's information, but can it become something that we believe? And when we believe it, then we'll act. Are you ready for that this morning? Just two of you? Anybody else want their faith to arise today and for us to believe how powerful Jesus is? Yep. Eddie, how about back there? You ready to believe? All right, all right. Have to make sure. Just checking in. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some times in Scripture, some places where Jesus powerfully healed, restored, delivered. Well, we could spend weeks on this because it's verse after verse after verse. Jesus went to this village and he preached the word and healed the sick. Then he went to this village, preached the word, healed the sick. Went to this village, preached the word, healed the sick. Come on, what do you think Jesus did? He taught, preached his kingdom, and healed the sick. So let's think together, because we're just reminding ourselves of information we know, but we want it to come to become belief. We want faith to rise up. So, in Capernaum, there was a royal official and his son was at the point of death. Okay, so he didn't just have a cold. He didn't just have an intestinal flu. He was at the point of death. Okay, I would imagine that him being a royal official, they've already tried doctors, they've already tried medication. He's at the point of death. And he comes to Jesus and he says, will you heal him? And Jesus just very simply says, yeah, return home. What? Now think about that with me. Jesus said, return home, he lives. Return home, he lives. Jesus did not travel to the home. He didn't lay his hands on him. He didn't pronounce healing over him, being right there within physical contact. He did it from however far the distance was to where the man lived. He said, go back home, your son lives. Come on. Now, don't we like to put, I don't know if like is the word. Let's just say we often choose to put limits on what Jesus can do. You know, if I'm going to get healed, it has to be up front, and it has to be Randy Clark that prays for me. If anybody else prays for me, I'm not going to get healed. And in fact, you know, Randy's good, but I think I want Bill Johnson. If Bill Johnson ever comes to Pennsylvania, then I can get healed. But, well, how about when you're praying and talking to Jesus yourself? Or how about when somebody at church is praying for you and you're at home sick? Come on. Why do we limit how powerful we believe Jesus is? The father knew. Oh, so it said that the servants knew that he had gotten better at 7 p.m. And when the father got there, he said, 7 p.m. was when Jesus said to me, return home, your son lives. Instantly, from a distance, without laying hands on him, without speaking anything over him. Wow, come on. Let your faith start to get stirred up. John 5. There was a man who laid beside the pool for 38 years. Now, we're talking about conditions here, folks. Last week, the man was born lame and he was 40 years old. 40 years. 40 years. Every day he begged at the gate. This guy, every day for 38 years, went to this pool hoping he could crawl in and touch the water of this pool. What was his faith in? The pool. Jesus shows up. What did Jesus do? Jesus knows exactly what you and I need. So this time he says, Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition. Jesus knew. Nobody had to tell him. Jesus knew he had been there a long time in that condition. And he said to him, do you want to get well? What? What? Do you want to get well? Come on, isn't that a given? Wouldn't that be obvious? But Jesus asked because he knew the man wasn't convinced that he really wanted to get well. Because if that man got well, think about it, what would change in his life? For 38 years, he knew what his day looked like. He knew today, I'm going back to the pool, I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to spend the day waiting for the water to get stirred up, and I'm hoping I can make it there before anybody else. Now what's he going to have to do? Everything changes. His days are going to look completely different. So that made me think of the prophetic word last week that we heard, that some of us are taking weed whackers to conditions in our lives that we've had for a long time, when God has given us a chainsaw. Now, when you weed whack a tree, you might shake it a little bit. You might put a couple scars in it. But if you take a chainsaw, what's happening to that tree? It's coming down. It's coming down. Come on, folks. It's coming down. And that tree you're very familiar with, very comfortable with. And what do trees do? Provide protection and shade. So that thing is something that you're used to and something that you depend on. I was thinking of Jonah. So he goes to Nineveh, and now he's pouting because God doesn't destroy Nineveh. Because he said, if I go there, you're going to be merciful and not kill them. And that's exactly what you did. Now, man. So he's sitting outside, and a weed grows up, and it provides some shade because it was baking, and he was hot. So So now he can sit under this weed and get some shade. And what happens? The weed dies, and he throws another fit because it provided shade. So if God has given you a word of truth to chainsaw that condition that you have, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's an illness, maybe it's a way of doing things or a way of thinking, a way of self-protecting. But if you're going to cut that tree down, then your whole life's going to change. The way people look at you is going to change. The way people treat you is going to change. How you spend your day is going to change. So, Jesus asked this man, and he must have said yes, that he wanted healed. And I just love how individual Jesus is. He says, arise, take up your mat, and walk. Come on. Remember we talked about that last week? I want my prayers to sound more like Jesus's. Jesus didn't say, oh God, this man for 38 years. Don't we all do that? And he's been here every day, and you know his family needs him, and his neighbors need him, and his wife needs him, and we go on and on and on and on. And you know he reads the scripture while he's sitting there all day waiting. I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go. But that's what we do in our prayers. Like, we're trying to give God enough pressure and enough really good reasons to do it. And Jesus just says, arise, take up your mat, and walk. So what Jesus did is he released the healing power, but it was still that man's choice. The man could have said, yeah, well, I don't like this condition, but people take care of me and feed me and carry me. And see, Jesus said, do you want to get well? And Peter and John did the same thing, didn't they? To that lame man, rise up, walk. Rise up and walk. Okay? Your faith rising a little bit? Then in Luke 4, we have Peter's mother-in-law. Well, many theologians believe that Peter's house served as like an outpost for Jesus. Like he would travel a day out and then come back. Day out and then come back. It only worked when he was in that region, but they think that was a place where he was pretty comfortable going. So he had been out with his disciples, and a bunch of them go back there to Peter's house, and they walk in, and there's the mother-in-law in bed with a fever. And usually what Peter's mother-in-law did is that, you know, she would have food ready for them to eat and help them out in that way. And they went in, and she had a high fever. And now again, how individual Jesus is. He didn't say to her, hey woman, get out of bed, make us lunch. He rebuked the fever and it left her. Huh, I don't know that I've ever tried that. Rebuked the fever and it left her. And it said she immediately got up. She had been so sick, she was in bed with a high fever. She immediately got up and served him dinner. Come on! She didn't just get up and say, oh, I think I feel better, but I need to lay down for a couple hours. She got up and served them dinner. Now, after dinner, see, that's why they think that this was a place people knew Jesus stayed at sometimes. Because it said after dinner, everybody in the community brought everybody that they knew who had sickness or disease or affected by demons or whatever it was. And they knocked on the door and said, hey, can Jesus come out? And so Jesus goes out. It says, now this time, he laid hands on every one of them and healed every one of them. Come on. We have no idea how many hours that took. We don't know if there was 10 people, 100 people, a couple hundred people. Laid his hands on everyone and healed everyone. Come on. Come on. Do you get the idea this was a normal part of his day? You know, he didn't have to decide, okay, I wonder if I want to heal anybody today. I wonder if I want to hold a healing crusade next month. It was a normal part of his day. And the other thing he didn't do, like with me, you know, I've got to get out of some of my logic because I'm very logical. So I think if I opened the door and there was 100 people out there, I might think, okay, I need to find which of these are easy illnesses. Like, if you didn't have this for more than 2 weeks, come over here. If this isn't life-threatening, come over here. If this isn't chronic and you've been born with it for 38 years, come over here. I'm going to start with this group, and then if I see what happens with this group, then I might start heading over toward this group. But don't you want to bet the very first person standing there in the doorway is the person who needed it the most and who had something for 30, 40, 50 years? And Jesus just right away laid his hands on each one of them and healed each one. Come on. See, that's another one of those conditions we put on. When we get an email from the prayer chain, and it says, so-and-so just has this thing going on in there in the emergency room. And, you know, do you ever think, boy, I don't know, that one might be a little harder than my prayer, might be a little bigger than my faith. And we don't say it, but it's almost like we've concluded Jesus isn't quite powerful enough to take care of that one. Oh, what'd Pastor Steve just say? Come on, I can't be the only one that does that. You know, if I hear that somebody has strep throat, sure, I'll pray for that. I believe Jesus is going to heal that. So-and-so was just in the hospital and diagnosed with cancer. Oh. Right? Now, come on, is it the same Jesus or isn't it? Same Jesus. Same Jesus. Same power. Yep. Okay. Then we have the man with leprosy. Now, he says, Lord, if you are willing. Wow. Okay, that's another one. That's another condition. I believe that he's willing to heal this person on my prayer chain. But how about me? How about me? If you're willing. What did Jesus say? Did he say, not today? Or, I don't know, that might be bigger than I can do. Why don't you come back next week? I'm going to build my faith up, and then come back next week and I'll pray for you. Now we're talking leprosy. Nasty stuff. They've got a better idea of what to do with it now. I don't think it's curable, but I think they can put it in remission. But back then, you lived in colonies, and you lived 12 miles from town. And you yelled the whole way to town, here I come, everybody get out of the way. And he walks right up to Jesus, and Jesus says, I'm willing, be healed. Come on, I am willing. Oh, actually it says be cleansed. Jesus completely understood the disease. Science didn't, Jesus did. Be cleansed. Was he healed? Come on. I only heard one person again. Come on. I was saying we need some more of that Southern amen, hallelujah. Preach it, Pastor. Come on, Pastor Van, Mary Carol. I'm counting on you two. Okay. I mean, I go down there and I hear, yeah, Pastor John. Do it, Pastor John. Speak it, Pastor John. We believe it, Pastor John. And you guys just, yeah. I didn't even get a whoop whoop from the whoop whoop boy over here. See? Come on. All right. Do you believe it? We're getting there. Okay. Luke 5, the story of the paralyzed men that his friends carried him in a mat. They couldn't get in to see Jesus. I want friends like this that storm the gates for me. Open the thatched roof. Made a nice hole in somebody's roof. Hopefully they had insurance, so they offered to cover it the next day. Lowered the man down. And this time it says, Jesus, seeing their faith. Not the man on the mat. We don't even know if he was conscious. But the man on the mat, seeing their faith, he says to the man, now look, we've done healed from a distance. We've done speak to, we've done command, we've done laid hands on, we did questions. Do you want to be healed? What's he do this time? They bring this man in for healing. You remember? Your sins have been forgiven. What? What? I mean, sometimes I read what Jesus said or did, and I just go, what? Like spitting in the dirt and spreading it on somebody's eyes. The way I am with body fluids, you are not spitting in my eye. I just don't like body fluids, and I don't want them pasted on my eye. Maybe if it was Jesus, okay. But your sins have been forgiven. So Jesus knew that somehow the man's lifestyle, his choices, affected him having this condition. We don't know exactly what that could have been, what he did, or what lifestyle choices he made. But Jesus knew he needed that first to know that his sins have been forgiven, so he's not living in condemnation, so that he knows God hasn't turned his back on him. Okay, come on. Your sins have been forgiven. And here we go again. Rise up, take up your mat, and go home. Three times now. Rise up, take up your mat, and go home. So do you think Jesus cares what causes our conditions? It doesn't seem that way, does it? He doesn't care if it's mental, emotional, physical, psychological, lifestyle choices, sins. He doesn't even care. Whether we've had them a week, a year, 40 years, doesn't make any difference to Jesus. Right? Is that true or not? Thank you. Thank you. He heals them all. Each person that came to Jesus was made well. Jesus was going about all of Galilee. Come on. We need to look at the words. All of Galilee. Healing every kind of disease. Now, can you think of a few kind of diseases? Yeah. Kind, every kind. Marlon, every kind. Every kind. Every kind. And every kind of sickness. Mental, emotional. Come on. Every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And do we read that and then say accept? No, there was no accept. Some even drew healing power from Jesus. How about the woman with the blood and just said, if only I can touch, if only I can touch. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. He didn't lay hands. He didn't command. He didn't spit. He didn't do any of that. He didn't ask her questions. She just reached up, touched, and received. So how powerful is Jesus? See, that's the question. What limit do we put on what he can do? Because he doesn't have any limits except the limits we put. And I'm as guilty as maybe some of you are. Or like I've said in the past, maybe it's just me. But I look at the length of time and how serious it is and all kinds of things. None of that seemed to affect Jesus. None of it. If he can raise from the dead a widow's son who didn't even ask Jesus to do that. Come on. Come on. That boy had no faith. And the mother was in a funeral crying with the rest of the town. I'm not sure she had much faith. Yeah. And we know Lazarus didn't. That boy'd been wrapped up till he stunk. He stinketh. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. Give you a minute to get there. This is good stuff. Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. I want you to see how much power and authority Jesus has. How much? Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. Ooh, Jeff's getting his Bible app out back there. You ready? How much power and authority he actually has. I also pray that you will understand. See, we need a revelation. It needs to be something he reveals to us. That you would understand the incredible greatness. Come on, are we watching the words? Incredible greatness of God's power toward us who believe in Jesus. Who believes in Jesus here in this room? Come on. Eddie, you believe in Jesus? Want to make sure you're with us back there. All right. The incredible greatness of God's power toward us who believe in Jesus. This is the same mighty power. Mighty power. Mighty power. That raised Jesus from the dead. Did that take a little bit of power? That took a little bit of power. And seated him, come on, he went from dead, to seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. You watching this? Okay. Now he, who's he? Jesus, who is seated there in the place of honor. Now he is. Far above. Come on. Not just slightly above, not almost equal to, far above all rulers. That means spiritual and physical. Geographical, worldwide, in the heavenlies, and all authority. What? Far above all authority. And all power. Come on. And all leaders. And just in case we didn't get it, okay? Far above all rulers, all authority, all power, all leaders, and everything else. Come on. Does that leave anything out? Come on. Not only in this world, but in the age to come. Today, right now, 2021, July 10th, 11th, okay, July 11th, 2021, ages to come, God has put a few things, some things, all. Oh, come on, let's try that again. Mike, what things? Thank you. All things. For the benefit of the, what? Come on. Gloria of the church. Are you part of the church, ma'am? See, she hides way in the back because she thinks I won't yell back at her. Okay, God has put all things under the authority of Jesus Christ and has made him head over all things. Wow. God has put all things under the authority of Jesus Christ and has made him head over what? All things for the benefit of the church. Why do we leave things out? We do, I'm just telling you. Why don't we repent of that right now? That would be good. So, Father, I ask that you would forgive me for not believing that you have put all things under the authority of Jesus. Not just some things, not just little things, not just understandable things, not just things that I can figure out, but you've put all under the authority and power of Jesus. Help my unbelief. I repent of not believing what your word says. That you have put all things under the power and authority of Jesus. Amen? For the benefit of the church, which is his body, that body which is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. That is a whole lot of power and authority. A whole lot. More than I can imagine or think. That's a lot of power and a lot of authority. Because I'm sure there's leaders and authorities and things going on in the spiritual realm that we don't understand. But it says Jesus is far above everyone. Come on. Far above. And then Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Let's see if we believe this together, folks. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. God, give us a revelation. Give us a revelation. Help us to understand. God highly exalted him. Highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every other name. Every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on. Does that mean any condition? Any situation is above the name of Jesus. Jesus' name is above everything that we can name. Sometimes when our condition or our situation is labeled and given a name, you know we tend to put trust in that label and that name. We do. We had the same thing before we got it labeled than we did after, but before we were believing Jesus, and now that it's labeled, not quite sure. But his name is above whatever that name is. Okay? Anxiety, depression, any label that we get psychologically. Okay? Come on. So like right away, do we think, oh yeah, but what about schizophrenia? Oh, I don't know. That's a pretty scary name. And what we do is we put it above the name of Jesus. Okay? I went to the doctors and I thought I had this, and now the doctor put a name on it and it's cancer. Yeah, here's Jesus, here's cancer. Come on. What truth did we just read? Name far above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every knee must bow. Come on. And confess that Jesus is Lord. So if he's Lord, that means he's above every single one. So I want us to read just one example here. So my wife is no longer in the sound room. I'm saying that because I was going to ask her to come up and play the piano. And Steph, oh, do you do that too? Oh my goodness. I mean, I know he has hidden talents, but I didn't know that was one of them. And Steph, huh? I know. See, in Jesus' name, play the piano. And Stephanie's downstairs. Well, Marty, maybe you can. I'm trying to think. Who else plays piano? Okay. So I've had this book. Well, you can tell how long. Look at the pages. Yeah. So this is Smith Wigglesworth, and he lived in the 1800s. And he was a plumber. But he believed God. And his testimonies are unbelievable. Some of them are a little out there even for me. But, I mean, not that I don't believe them. I'm just amazed that, you know, what God did. But, so he has one here I want to read to you. And then, Marty, I'll have you play after I read. Okay? But she's just making sure, you know, it's in tune and it's on and her fingers are good to go. So this whole book is filled with, he went all over the world. I had forgotten. I realized he was, you know, did what he did in England and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't realize he had gone all over the world. But this is just one example because it's toward the end of the book and he's sort of summarizing some things. Prayer changes hearts, but it never changes God. Believe that when you come into the presence of God and you can have all you came for. You can take it away. You can use it, for all the power of God is at your disposal in response to your faith. So, he gives us an example here. I want to show you the difference between our faith and the faith of Jesus. See, our faith can't be in our faith. Our faith has to be in Jesus. Our faith is limited and come to an end. Most of you have experienced where you've gotten to the place where you said, Lord, I can't go any further. I don't know what else to do. But God can take us beyond that. I remember one time, so he tells this story. I won't read the whole story to you, but it says he's in the north of England. He goes into a house. They have asked him to come and pray for this woman. And, you know, the terms they used back then, this is old English, okay? So don't freak out on me. But he said she's a lunatic. Okay, that's how they described somebody who, you know, had a mental condition or an emotional condition, and she was bedridden with this. And it said that her husband came in to check on her, and she just went into a fit and rolled out of the bed and threw herself on the floor. And he says to the husband, you know, what kind of spiritual help have you had? In other words, he likes to know, you know, did you have people from the church? Has your pastor been here? And this is his reply. Do you think we believe in God after this? Come on. So it can't be his faith. You've come to the wrong house. Yeah, how would you like to show up and pray for that woman, right? If you want to get anything from God, you will have to pray right into heaven. For all you want is there. So it says he stopped and he prayed. And as he entered heaven through his prayers, as I prayed, there came another faith into my heart that could not be denied. A faith that grasped the promises. A faith that believed God's word. When I came out of the presence, I wasn't the same as when I went in. With a faith that could shake hell, I cried to this young woman who was a maniac, "Demon, come out of her in Jesus' name." She rolled over, fell asleep, awoke in 14 hours, perfectly sane and perfectly whole. Come on. And that whole book is filled with examples. But see, he said it's not so much our faith is it is grabbing the faith of Jesus who healed every person. Come on, what examples did we look at today? And that was just a few. And that faith then allows us to reach up and say, God, you made these promises in your word. I'm pulling them down into my situation. Okay. So, as we enter a time of prayer, remember that it's not about whether I lay hands on you, but it's about what Jesus can speak over you. And we're believing that the word of truth today, if you will receive truth, it will be the chainsaw to cut down the tree. Cut down the tree of unbelief. Cut down the tree of self-protection. Cut down the tree of anxiety or depression. Cut down the tree of an addiction that maybe you've struggled with your whole life. That our faith in the power, the absolute power of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, that as we allow that truth to dispel any lies, to cut down any name that we exalted above the name of Jesus, to come down So Jesus, in your name that is above every other name, we speak to that condition. We speak to anxiety. We speak to depression. We speak to fear. We speak to poverty. We speak to need. We speak to sickness. We speak to disease, because we know you healed every sickness, every kind of sickness, and every kind of disease. So whatever our condition is, our situation is, whatever the doctors have spoken over us, whatever they've labeled, what's happening in our bodies or our minds or our emotions, we place that name under the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, that thing must bow. It has to leave my life. It cannot stay, because no name is higher than the name of Jesus. No authority is over Jesus. No power is over Jesus. No ruler is over Jesus. So if that thing has a demonic cause, like the example we just read, we say, demon, be gone in Jesus' name. Chains fall off. We're believing for freedom today. We're believing for release today. We're believing for healing today. And Jesus, I'm believing that you are going around to each one of my dear friends and church family today, your sons and your daughters, and you're speaking over them the exact word they need to heal. Heal. Hear. That would heal them. Sorry, my mind's going faster than my mouth. That your word would come to each one of them, and you would speak the word that they need to hear, that they may step into complete healing and wholeness today. So whether it is your sins are forgiven, whether it is you're loved, whether it is arise, take up your mat and walk, whether it is, yes, I am willing, you thought I wasn't willing, but I'm saying to you today, that was a lie that you were believing, I am willing. And so if they need to hear today, I am willing, be cleansed, I am willing today, be healed, I am willing today, be made whole, Jesus, you speak to them right now. Speak to them right now. Maybe there's some unbelief, and you're coming to them today, and you're saying, faith arise, faith in me, faith in me. No one else, nothing else, but faith in me. Cause that disbelief to leave, to be expelled, to flee. Jesus, speak the truth that each one needs to hear today, because you know exactly what it is. We don't want to guess, even if we think we can, but we know you know exactly what each one needs to hear today. And as you hear from Jesus today, I just want you to receive that truth, receive that word, receive the power that Jesus is speaking over you, and to just stand and say, I pull down the promise of God into my life today. I pull it down in Jesus' name. I place that thing under the name of Jesus today, the name that is above every other name. I receive deliverance today. I receive freedom today. I receive healing today. Bring revelation. Bring revelation. Revelation of your great power today. For you have all power and all authority. All power and all authority. And you are willing. You are willing.